friend of the pod.
Peter Lawrie almost set me back 2 years in a 1 15-minute lesson. That's all I want to say about that.
He doesn't take advice very well, Gary.
Peter couldn't teach a dog how to bark.
I can vouch for that.
OTB Sports Golf Weekly with Now TV, live every Thursday afternoon on OTB Sports Radio. Tune in 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I think we're going to be joined now on the line on by Alan Quinlan. Good morning to you, Quinny.
Morning, lads. How are you?
We're clean shaven. I'm flying it.
The state of you, that's all I'd say. Trying to shave. I hope you took all the good tips there from on how to shave properly. Your lovely clean faces, yeah. And you know.
I haven't, as I said, had a clean shave in about 10 years, and it was the weirdest thing ever, but sure, look. Here, Ireland top of the table going into the final round, Quinny. We've one point ahead of England and France. There's a very straightforward scenario here that sees Ireland get a bonus point win, and that just gets the job done, regardless of what happens between England and Italy, which is the game before us tomorrow. But we will know exactly what's needed come 8:05. Most likely that 4-try bonus point, or... If both Ireland and England win, as long as Ireland's winning margin is not less than 24 points worse than England's win, we will still win. Is it doable?
There's a lot of factors at play here. I think it's better for Ireland that they have to go for a bonus point, because essentially it will make them play an attack and really kind of just throw everything at it, really. I think if we just had to win the game, obviously you play a little bit differently. You play a little bit more in a cup rugby scenario. But it's a very difficult task. I think you look at France last week against Wales, they looked very powerful and they looked very aggressive. And I think that's probably the fear for me, is can we cope with that strength and power and physicality that they can bring? I think back to the England-France game and the France-England game in round one, and they hit the ground running, particularly with Fabian Galthié making so many changes to his squad and bringing in so many young players. It's a new French team, and they hit the ground running, and I think they'll be very, very difficult to stop and play against. But like I said, there was some positive stuff from the Italian game last week. Totally different challenge. But I looked at Italy, and I actually did the game Italy-France. And if you play against France and hold on to the ball, I know it sounds simplistic, and you actually attack them, they lose their shape a little bit. And you can cause problems for them with their discipline and stuff like that. So Ireland are going to have to be very, very shrewd and bring a top class performance. I just don't know. It's been mentioned so many times over the last couple of years after 2018, the kind of level that we were at, and it's totally different now. The expectation isn't there, and it's more of hope than anything. But they won't be fearful going to Paris. There's no crowd there. And a lot of these players have played in France, that one 2 years ago when Johnny Sexton got that incredible drop goal and the start of that Grand Slam run. So to answer the question, I don't know. I think we can, but I'm very, very nervous about it. And it's a massive task. And I think so many things have to go right. So I'm not really sure if they can. I'm not really sure if they will. I think they have the ability, all right. There's no doubt about that.
Looking at Ronan O'Gara's column this morning, he talks about the players being ambitious, like to go for it. And they're not going to tell us about it. Obviously, when they speak openly, they're going to talk about things like, oh, we just need to be pragmatic and try and ground out the win and let everything look after itself. But internally, do you think that they'll be talking openly about that this week, about let's go out there and let's get the bonus point?
I think they won't be directly saying, well, we need to score these 4 tries, but I think they'll know... I haven't been in teams who have been in situations that you've got to go and get bonus point wins. I think it is a process to that. Obviously, if you're completely loose after a couple of minutes and you're throwing the ball around, taking massive risks, I think you can come unstuck and the opposition can force a mistake and intercept. And then it becomes so much harder. It's not like away goals in soccer. If you concede a try, it's you have to get five. It's a little bit different. But I think they just have to be more ambitious in their approach. And for me, if you know, as I said, being part of teams, it's about the urgency and the energy that you bring. You know, if you know that you have to be really expansive in your attack, that's just really players showing up, getting good shape, getting off the ground. You know, realignment is so important off phase play, that you're not in a bunch in midfield. So I think the players are putting massive pressure on each other to, you know, get their realignments organized really, really quickly. And, you know, go back to the famous Munster-Gloucester game in Thomond Park, where we needed a bonus point win. We actually didn't know what the situation was, but we knew we had a massive determination just to take it, to obviously to beat Gloucester and Thomond Park. And then as we started scoring the tries, we scored two before halftime and two after halftime. So it gives a little bit of confidence if you can build into a performance. And you know yourself out in the field if it's on that day, if the intensity is there, that, you know, you have an opportunity to go for it. But you're not going to go to Paris and just score easy tries. There's going to be a couple of opportunities. And that's probably the key for me, is that Ireland take them. If somebody makes half a line break, or if there is an offload on, that somebody runs a good line off someone's shoulder. And, you know, it doesn't matter if they're four mall tries, but, you know, even talking about this makes me uncomfortable, because it's very, very difficult to even win in Paris, not to talk about getting a bonus point. But I do think it suits them better, Adrian, that they have to go for this. We're not going to see them, you know, going really slow into it and trying to nudge out a win and kicking penalties. You've just got to be ruthless. And I wouldn't, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't kick penalties to win the game, because it could come down to points difference. Who knows what happens with England and Italy. And, you know, finishing second would be brilliant. Beating France in Paris, winning four games would be a very, very good return for Andy Farrell. But they've got to take it in stages, you know, and if they start well, who knows?
You're talking about the physicality and trying to get on top of the French and that sort of stuff. Like, if you pit that alongside a comment that was brought to our attention by Murray Kinsella this week about Razzie Erasmus during the World Cup ahead of the Wales game, saying to South African players that about Wales, they're not softies, they're not like Ireland, which is a remarkable thing given we've all spent our time thinking about what went wrong with Ireland at the World Cup. And here's one of the leading coaches saying that Ireland are soft. In the context of this weekend, is he right?
Well, we all say things in dressing rooms that maybe we don't really mean deep down. And that was a funny one. He was obviously being videoed, and I'm not really sure where he was coming from. Obviously, he coached Munster for a long time, and he's coached and I probably played against Ireland a number of times in his playing career. So I think it's I think the Irish players wouldn't be too happy with hearing something like that. But
it might have been true back in the day, Quinny, but it could be true now.
Yeah, well, it's maybe the way the current group are perceived, and you try any little bit of an angle to inspire a dressing room and convince people that. So a lot of this stuff is taken literally, and it's not. It's just you say things in dressing rooms where something like that, where they're soft, and it's not really true, but you're trying to convince the opposition that you're actually stronger mentally and physically than them. And I think, look, any team playing against Ireland at the moment think they have the upper hand physically against Ireland. And I think England were the ones who probably started that trend in the last couple of years. And it's a perception out there. There's no Tadhg Furlong, no Ian Henderson in that pack, which takes away a little bit of grunt and power. So it's probably a perception out there at the moment that teams think they can physically go after Ireland. But I don't believe they're soft. I mean, what he probably means is they're not as physical as other teams, and that. But it is a little bit insulting, isn't it? And I think I was surprised by the comment, but again, it's not taken literally.
If you sort of flip that in its head, almost like if you're France and you're looking at where the Ireland weaknesses are, I don't think they're going to be having those conversations maybe this week. But where are those weaknesses from an Irish point of view?
Sean Edwards will obviously have played against Ireland a lot of times at Wales, and he'll try and impose his defensive structure on Ireland and get at Johnny Sexton and Conor Murray. He's done it with Wales before, and if you it doesn't matter who you're playing in rugby. If you physically impose yourself against the opposition, well, it's you're on the front foot. You get into the game early, get a couple of big tackles, and the line speed and all that stuff. So I would be concerned with Ireland's depth in attack. And I mentioned it a few times in commentary last week. And obviously, I'm not an expert on backline play, and I'm would be open to being challenged on this. But I just think at times the passing is a little bit static and slow. I think they can run onto the ball better. And they're going to encounter a very, very strong defensive line from France. So if they get their shape right there, they can certainly get a bit of width in the ball and try and, you know, get the ball out to Conway and Stockdale coming in and off in the full back line and Hugo Keenan. And who knows then, if you get a little bit of width like that, France, even though he'll have worked incredibly hard to try and organise their shape, they do get a bit disjointed after a number of phases. So I think France will definitely go after Ireland up front as well. Bernard Leroux and Paul Willems in the second row, and their back row is very, very big. So that kind of middle five in the five in the pack are really going to target James Ryan and Tadhg Byrne and Doris Stander and Connors as well. So that's an area where they'll see, that's where they ruffled England up. They smashed them, all those forwards, smashed English players and really put them on the back foot. So that's an area where I think Ireland have got to be really, really strong. I don't have any concerns regarding the scrum. I think our scrum should be okay. But Bernard Leroux and Willems are powerhouses in the second row. And obviously that back row battle as well. So Conor Murray only kicked the ball twice last week. You know, we're going to do the same tomorrow. Of course, he's going to have to kick the ball a couple of times. But holding on to the ball is an area that brought so much success to Ireland 2 years ago. And that's the challenge for them. Can they build multiple phases? If they do, France get become a little bit unstuck. But my worry is up front, that physicality and that power. And that is a weakness. So Razzy Erasmus is saying they're soft. I think it's more a physicality thing that he means. And, you know, that's the concern for me. That's the weakness of this Irish team. Can they deal with the power of the French?
What's going to come close to business tomorrow night, Quinny? What are we going to be left with? What's going to happen?
Oh, you're looking into a crystal ball. I think form, you can't really judge form because Ireland played Italy. France played Wales last week and looked very, very powerful. But you didn't, where are Wales at? You know, it was the first game for them in months. I think winning the game is an achievement in itself. So I think it's, I'm not confident that we're going to go there and get a bonus point win. I think, you know, we may even lose the game. And that's probably what the bookies will say, that France should win the game. So it's such a tall order. But I always think of me when I was a player myself, and I'd love to be in this situation where you're kind of going with the shackles off, really, and you're expected to lose probably. And you're putting pressure on yourself to go for a bonus point win. There's a massive prize at the end of it. So I don't even think we'll win the game, but another part of me thinks then that, you know, I'd love to be there and it may happen, you know. He could surprise us all, but on form and on what the betting would suggest is that France will probably win the game.
Yeah, interesting take. We shall see. We hope you're wrong, obviously, and we'll catch up
with
you. Yeah,
I hope I'm wrong too.
Come on. Thanks, William.
Cheers, lads. Thanks.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.